the dark side of sports, changing the game with Team USA. I'm super honored for this incredible show and live episode. It's always been my dream. Coming off the streets of Brazil, selling bread on the streets at age 7, you guys hear my story. I always talk about coming back one day and helping, because a lot of those kids, they have a dream to become an athlete, to become somebody. And the sad part of sports that very, very few make it. Less than 1% of all children and young teens and adults around the world ever make it to the big leagues, to the sports. And yesterday, I had the honor to receive an invitation to become a board advisory council member of Team USA. And I want to help bring this awareness around the world, so all the little kids that have dreams like I had growing up. Some of you guys that know my story, my father died in a car explosion. I was 3 months old. My stepfather was murdered, and I had to sell bread on the streets. Me as a kid, I'd done many, many sports. I did MMA. I did some, you know, not so legal cage fighting as a kid. The Japanese put me to fight among other kids. My first martial art was judo. My payment was a large pizza and a 2-liter soda because I didn't have enough food at home and they know I was hungry. And I know many of you guys watching us here are hungry. So I want to thank you so much, all my followers around the world, man, on Facebook, on YouTube, on TikTok, and Instagram, all the likes and the beautiful comments that you guys shared, welcoming myself to Team USA. And today I have the honor, truly, truly honored to be here interviewing a few athletes. And each step, my friends, that we're going to take towards their dreams, it's going to be fueled not just by the relentless spirit and hard work, but also by the vital support that they receive from our community. And with no further ado, I want to bring here to the stage Butch Chalaya, chairman of the board, Team USA, Lauren Menzeno, team captain, Janae Noonan, Ivan Jimenez, and Jerry Barnes. What's going on, beautiful people? How you all doing?
Hello.
Yeah. I am super excited, guys, to have you guys here on the stage today. I'm meeting many of you guys today, as I was just appointed yesterday. So I'm super excited to dive right in with you guys into this incredible segment that we're going to talk about today, because me as an athlete, I can relate, you know, because I went through some dark times. I did my college years in basketball in Brazil, and I played soccer for second division. I done sumo and karate and MMA illegally on cage fightings, Vale Tudo MMA back in the early 90s. Who here remember Vale Tudo? Talk about not in a cage, but in a bamboo caging. So, and that was for food. That's why a lot of my brothers and sisters from Brazil, they're great fighters, because at the beginning of their careers, they fought it because of hunger. It was because the food is to put the leche and the pan, the milk and bread at the table. So I know many of you here on the stage with me today come from dark times to be where you guys are today. And the struggle, and like I always talk about on stages around the world, the training never stops. So we're going to talk about that today. We're gonna have a real raw talk over here today. Anybody that's here live with us, folks that are going to be watching the replay, I want you guys to like, to subscribe, to follow each individual here on the screen. You guys can Google their names. Again, like I said, just hitting them all right now. And I was appointed yesterday as a board advisory member. I have my great friend over here, chairman of the board, Butch Chalaya, incredible human being that I know for a very long time, incredible father like myself, been married for a gazillion number of years, and beautiful children. Just doing great things for humanity as well. My friend Butch, we're going to start the show, man. I want to hear a few words from you, man, chair of the board. And thanks again for welcoming in to the board with you yesterday. And I'm looking forward for some of the initiatives that we're going to bring it. We're going to take it to a whole nother level. Some of the things that we're going to do here, my friend. How are you, brother?
Carlos, hey, we're super excited, man. This is great. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Loud and clear, my friend.
Awesome. Hey, I'm fired up. This has been a passion project. I've been a part of this movement now for about 6 months, and, you know, single-handedly changed my life. I met some of the greatest people I've met in life, in all of my professional past, and you know, 30 years of starting companies and building companies and consulting for companies, I've never felt more excited, more purpose-driven than this particular opportunity, right? So like you, I'm an immigrant and I've been in this country now for about 30 years. And I am so fortunate to be able to be a part of this brand and to be associated with this brand. You know, my kids obviously were born in this country, so we're very red, white, and blue. This country has afforded me tremendous opportunity, right? And I've been blessed with so much kindness. If for the rest of my life I gave everything back, I will still be in deficit because I've received way more than I can ever repay. And so this team, Team USA, what drove me and drew me to this culture started with the people. It started with meeting just the best human beings I think I've had a chance to meet. Their hearts, souls, their passions, their disciplines, the way they live their life. It's a wonderful organization. I'm so excited to be a part of it. I'm excited to lead the charge to make sure that we can give them the identity they deserve. They've been working anonymously in the background, in the darkest gyms, in the corners, in blood, sweat, and tears without an audience. And my job is to bring an audience to appreciate their efforts as they put on the red, white, and blue as they go into the World Championship this year. So fired up to be on this broadcast with you, Carlos, and thank you for the work you've been doing. I've been a long fan of you. You have done so many passion projects in your life, and all of which have made an impact in millions of people worldwide. What you do on the business level, if people really knew you, it's only a small percentage of what you do on a global level for humanity. So we all respect profitability, and that's what keeps the engine moving. But your passion drives way deeper than business. Your first love is people. I've seen it. I've walked with you. I've lived with you. And I appreciate being a part of this team with you as well. So thank you for hosting us.
No, man. Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate the kind words. You know, sorry for the glitch, guys. You know, we're doing this live. We are recording, but you guys know how I am. I don't care. You know, we just go with the flow. We had, you know, as Butch was talking over here, and, you know, it's all about adapting, you know. And as Butch is saying those kind words, I bet you my grandma is laughing in heaven. We often talk about, you know, life is all about the mission, never the commission, right? It's all about the contribution, never the acquisition. Like, I have a lot of wealthy friends, and sometimes I challenge them because, you know, what are we doing when it's only between us and God? Right? That when nobody's watching, when the camera is not on, how much more are we donating above and beyond the tax bracket? You know, and I'm just super excited to be here today. I'll tell you guys a powerful story here at the end of this show that some of you might even have a tear or two about it. And that will be for the end. And all right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start over here now. I'm going to start asking some of the athletes. I'm going to bring here onto the stage Janae Noonan, our team captain for USC. MMA champion, 2 gold medalist, our mom, entrepreneur, badass, lioness, and welcome to the stage, my friend. And Janae, I'm going to start with you. As you know, I was raised by women, you know, like I say earlier, you know, at the beginning of this channel, like my father died and my stepfather was murdered. Mm-hmm. And I love when I see women leading, going through the battles and winning, right? Going for that gold in the midst among all the struggle. And Janae, the question that I have for you as a team captain, I want us to go deep into, can you share a personal story where you face a significant amount of challenges in your sport career that most people aren't aware of? Maybe something that nobody knows. If you know, and then you can go, let's just go deep and then take your time if you have to think about it a little bit. But this is something I always love to hear from the athletes, because they don't know a lot of the stuff that we do. Like, a lot of people, I never say publicly that I done, you know, some MMA underground fighting as a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, right. It wasn't a choice. I was hungry, and the Japanese saw me. I'm a big boy. I'm 6'5", 300 pounds, and I always did big. So they're like, are we going to train this little kid? He's hungry. He doesn't have nothing to lose. Let's make him into a fighter. And it was for food, right? So what about for you, Renee? What is the time in your...
I just want to say first, thank you so much for having us on the show. And thank you for being a part of our panel. Like, I've heard so many good things about you. And I just wanted to start with that. So I wanted to say thank you so much first. I think everybody thank knows you. About my next story. So when you're asking that question, I was like, what else might be like dark and seedy? And I actually want to say being a woman. And you were all about the woman. But I came up in the era where there were no women in the UFC. We weren't a part of that conversation. And it was a lot of, you know, maybe we were on a card, maybe we weren't, maybe we were getting paid like $5 or we could compete if we sold tickets. And just, I don't want to say being a pioneer, but I'm of the age where I started in 2004. So I am a little bit seasoned in the sport. And I just being a woman in that man's environment was probably one of the hardest, besides my injuries, being one of the hardest things. You just have to dig deep and have that passion and that drive and to just, you know, screw the naysayers. I almost cussed, sorry. And just be, know what you want and go for it. And I was, everyone knows about my injuries. So I was like trying to think something that not many people knew about. And I would have to say the plowing the way for the women of the sport. And yeah.
No. I love it. I love it, Janae. I love it because a lot of people sometimes, you know, and I had a great episode with Frank Shamrock. He's a good friend of mine. One of the pioneers, right, of UFC, pretty much invented the whole thing. And so did with Dana and the Fertitta brothers. And you know, it's we had a great episode for you guys that love the MMA sports. Rewind a few years back on my show, Carlos Inspire show, and you guys can listen. And, you know, it's so true, Janae. I do appreciate you sharing that. And I want to bring on the stage here next, Jared. And hey, Jared, welcome to the stage, my friend. And man, I heard some, you know, incredible things about you. And age 13, man, you know, you had to deal with something tragic. You lost your mom.
Yeah.
And, man, and I heard that you were homeless at your early 20s. And now you are an athlete, man, for Team USA. I just love hearing those stories. You know, because I know the drill, man, being on the streets of Brazil and the struggle is real.
Yeah.
You know, I want to thank you, Dad. I know that your mom and my dad are smiling in heaven right now. And they are super proud of us for not quitting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We keep pushing it. As I always love to say on the show, the days that breaks us are truly the days that makes us. I love to be in presence of great athletes like yourself that haven't give up because people see, you know, the stuff on TV, right? All the big athletes and the biggest competitions that gets the most money. But then what about the other competitions that Team USA is part of it? Like MMA, like fighting, that doesn't get the as much as viewership, as much as the ownership. You know, you guys are extremely underpaid compared to other parts of the sports. And not just in Team USA, but around the globe. And I want to talk to you about that. I want you to tell me something. And how has the sports industry traditionally, Jared, handled like athlete mental health? And what changes are you seeing now? Let's go deep because I think it's something that a lot of people suffer for that right now in sports and in general. And I want to hear from you. How do you even cope, man, and become an athlete after losing your mom and being homeless? How did you find that strength to keep it going and dealing with the mental health that goes on?
So one thing, mental health is something that I'm still working on. It's not something that you fix and then it's fixed forever. You know, it's something I'm still working on today, and I'm still finding new ways to deal with things that I've gone through in life. One thing that's gotten me the strength and gotten me through everything I've gone through is who I do it for. I got pictures of my mother everywhere, and I'm always reminding myself that this is the woman that I do everything for. I'm really big on family, and my biggest thing of why I work so hard is I want to make the people who love me the most and the people that I love the most proud. And the only way I can do that is by doing my best no matter what I'm going through, getting the job done. And that's a big part of who I am, is regardless of how I'm feeling and what I'm going through, get the job done, because the people that love you, the village that helped raise you and got to this point, they want to see you succeed. Definitely.
Wow. No, man, I love that. I love that because, man, just God bless you, my brother. You know, because I have a lot of my friends in Brazil, you know, that we grew up and very few make it, man. A lot of them die. You know, some of them in between competition, they some of them would go do something illegal to make money just to eat. So yeah. They could go to the gym to compete so that they could have a shot at making. And a lot of this happening because, as you and I know, governments are countries, right? I am half American, half Brazilian, and I can speak for both countries where the support for the athletes isn't there.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of us and you guys got to, you know, come out of pocket, go, you know, like raise money, like people go do GoFundMe when somebody died. Right. Yeah. And that's something that nobody talks about. And that's why I'm so passionate about raising the bar and bring more eyeballs into this, because people that don't. And speaking of that, you know, before we go here to the next person, I wanted you to tell me something. I mean, with the upcoming competition that you guys have in Romania, the World Series, right? You know, how can our viewers actively support Team USA, not just through funding, but also through other ways as well? What do you think about that in your opinion?
Definitely sharing us and getting the word out for sure. Something I think that comes with being undersupported is people not knowing, you know? The more people that know, the more support we can get, not only in a financial way, but I would love to see a video of people who I have no idea exist, you know, saying my name, saying that they got my back and they are behind me. That would help out a lot. That helps out sometimes more than just financially, just knowing that aside from your small little village, you have a bigger village that you reach out to, the people that you inspire and everything like that. So.
Amen, man. I often tell people all the time, sometimes I know a lot of people are struggling with money, but sometimes just the fact of you guys sharing this clip, sharing this video, you know, showing, talking about Jared's story to your local businesses in your town, how you're supported by liking. And then if you are in a position that you can support Jared financially, what if I told you guys that new initiative that we started where if you donate, let's say a minimum of $1,000. Now, not only you support Jared in getting to the competition, but now Jared can also do a video saying, hey, so-and-so, because of your support, I was able to make to the competition. Not only you can write the $1,000 off, but now you can take that video from Jared and share it in your social media, pin to your post saying that you are a proud sponsor of Team USA. It's a way to give back. Is a way to help the athletes. It's a win-win situation versus traditional models of just, oh, here's some money, goodbye. You know what I mean? It's like being involved with the athletes, watching their growth, watching and then giving, inspiring other kids so that around the world, they don't have to turn into, like I saw kids in Brazil, turn into something illegal and die and being murdered because they had a dream to become an athlete. And I appreciate you sharing there, Jared, big time, my brother. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you more, man, over the years. And as we develop this friendship and seeing great things. And go Team USA, my friend. I appreciate you big time.
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to bring over here to the stage next, Lauren Manzano. How are you, sister?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Lauren, my friend, welcome to the stage. Hey, Lauren. I want you to talk about behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Something about training for like international event that would surprise most fans. What do you have to say to that?
So I've done a couple international competitions, both for martial arts and for dance. And when it boils down to it, it's very similar in terms of preparation for both. You know, most people would expect, of course, there's going to be some hard work. Of course, there is late night practices. There is, you know, meetings and you're constantly being involved in that kind of stuff with your team. But I think what most fans don't understand, especially when you're at such a level, is that there is a extended level of preparation. When you're going into a foreign country, if you don't speak the language, at least for me, if you don't speak the language, you need to do research on language. You need to do research on culture. You need to do research on food. Because especially when it comes to a martial art, everything is about you know, respect. It is about how we comport ourselves in a foreign country because we're representing our country or we're representing our team. And so for me, I like to make sure I do that. So I'm currently in the process of learning Romanian because we're going to Romania. It's going to be my fifth language. And I've competed in Korea. I've competed in Spain and I've worked in Argentina. So I think it's very important to know that it's not just what your modality is. So it's not just your martial art. It's not just what your team is doing. It is a far more extensive preparation, which is really going to contribute to a far better representation when you're there, boots on the ground, ready to compete.
Yes. No, I love that. I love that. You see a lot of things like a lot of people, they don't think about, right, how much work it takes, right, just to keep up, you know, with the practicing, with like learning. In Romania, it's not easy. I speak multiple languages. I don't speak many yet. Very difficult language to learn.
We can learn together.
For real. And Lauren, you know, tell me something, you know, some of the struggles that you face as an athlete right now that, you know, that sometimes, you know, it goes through our minds, right? Just like people in people's careers where they like, sometimes they become so overwhelming that they're like, I'm just giving it up, F this, and I'm done. Can you talk about a time in your life that you struggle so much as an athlete that you're just like, you know what, I'm done. But and then you're like deep inside, you're like, no, as you guys listening to us right now and watching us, every single one of you listening to us, we are capable to do so much more. Human potential and what we can achieve is incredible, right? I never thought of it as a seven-year-old boy selling bread in Brazil that one day I'm going to be, you know, having my own show interviewing athletes and celebrities and superstars around the world. You know, but deep inside, I knew if I don't quit, I can be there. And if I speak up, if I call somebody, if I ask for the help of the community, like we are here now, and if the community or followers, if they can just follow us, if they don't have the money, like it, subscribe it, share it, tag this clip into your stories, tag Lauren, tag myself, you know what I mean? Tag Team USA, like let's create awareness because the struggle is real, guys. And especially since COVID, even more difficult for many athletes. And that's why I'm so passionate to be here on the board with you guys so that we can raise more awareness and get the support of the community. And if you can talk about a struggle in your time, Lauren, and what have you done it, you know, talk to us a little bit about that time, maybe something that you never shared before.
So I think adversity comes with just living as a human, and especially post-COVID global trauma, all of us are trying to figure out how to function in this new situation. One that not that many people publicly know about, I was in a very horrific car accident. I was a victim of a DUI, and it left me with permanent and possibly debilitating lifelong injuries. And that honestly, my doctors are still shocked that I'm able to do what I can do. And because most of them had suggested that they're like, well, you just need to stop being an athlete, stop being a dancer, stop being a martial artist because of the way my neck and spine are. And so there was a lot of that going on where, you know, something not of your own doing, something completely random, unexpected. And you go through a really dark time of having, especially as a martial artist, trying to like balance acknowledging that you're a victim of something that had absolutely nothing to do with any of your choices or anything you've done. And then the reality of like, okay, this happened. Don't take personal responsibility for it. You didn't do this and earn this. And then once you're able to work through that mental game of how do you move forward? And I had PTSD, and it took me a very long time to accept that I needed more mental help than I could do on my own. So I went to therapy, and I was able to, and I'm still in therapy, to work through my PTSD and to work through my physical injuries with, you know, an amazing team of medical professionals that I work with. And I'm kind of like a medical, like, oh my gosh, she can still move. And so I basically am not going to quit. I contemplated it, but I can't quit because if I do quit, I can't move anymore. I can't dance. I can't fight. I can't be active. So I feel like I'm on borrowed time in terms of like, if I stop, that's it. So that's where I am at, where I have to struggle with balancing, working really hard, but not finding the line. And I think a lot of athletes sometimes struggle with pushing too far, because our bodies are finite. Unfortunately, with our technology, we don't have like a laser that can fix everything. And so a mature athlete has to be able to recognize, hey, this is a pushing of a limit and we need to be smart about it and maybe reduce practice or the intensity in order to have the long game. So if my goal is to get to October, I need to be very mindful and very deliberate and purposeful in my training. And that's been, it's been a hard thing to kind of grapple with ego and with, I think a lot of us are very proud of ourselves and of our achievements. And sometimes we just have to take that step back and be like, you know what? I'm here for the long time.
Yes. I love that. I love that. I often say, Lord, I want to honor you for playing full out, because, you know, our ego is not our amigo, right? And I've seen it so often. I always talk about, as fast as God gives it to us, he takes it away.
Absolutely.
And stay grounded to our roots, remembering where we come from. That's so powerful. I do appreciate you sharing, Lauren, opening here with us. And now go Team USA. Let's rock it. And all right, guys, let's go over here to bring it on the stage next. Señor Ivan Jimenez, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on here.
Awesome. And I'm super proud. An incredible panel over here on the stage today. Good luck going after Lauren. What an incredible story, but I know that you don't need it. But you guys are all athletes and love to compete. And Ivan, I want to ask you a question over here. It's something that a lot of people, they don't talk about. And I wanted to discuss with you the financial realities of athletes preparing for international competitions. What kind of support do you think that would make a difference, Ivan, you know, not just for you, but for every athlete in USA right now that's struggling, that's training, but they don't even know if they're going to make it to the competition because they got to pay their planes, their hotels, they got to pay to compete. And it is crazy how, you know, like I said, very fewer sports within the division, within Team USA, get a bigger vision per se. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, in your opinion, would make the biggest difference for some of the leagues within Team USA and the sports teams that could help, you know, make a difference in that area, my friend?
You know, I think any contribution, small or large, that could be used to support the team would make a big difference. I know, you know, a lot of us have on the team have regular day jobs and, you know, we have to travel to trainings and, you know, we have families and things like that. So even, you know, as little contribution as helping us get gas to get to the next training thing. Some of us can't do that, right? We travel a lot. And so just in areas like that, just to get us to, you know, to training and to work hard. And then on top of that, there's gear that comes with that. We have to purchase passports and flights, just like you were saying. So really any contribution would make a big difference. Even, you know, emotional support, just cheering us on is great. It feels like we're supported, but I think any contribution really would make an impact on any of our lives.
No, man, I love that, because I know a little bit about you. I was looking at your bio that you come from the, you know, humble streets down south in California. I believe it's in Pomona, right?
It's Panorama City.
Panorama City, yes. And, you know, tell me something. In a time in your life when a setback propelled you to a greater achievement, like, how did you turn that situation around? Because, you know, growing up on the streets of LA down south in Cali, it's not easy. And then to become an athlete facing all the struggles. So tell me about a time in your life.
Well, I will say, you know, my whole life it was I faced adversity. Didn't grow up with my dad there. They divorced when I was really young. And that my mom, you know, woman, supported me my whole life. And I was also, I grew up really small, like undersized. And when I first started on my first season of wrestling, I was 88 pounds competing in the 103-pound division class. I was really small my first time, and I sucked. I was bad. I was really bad, to the point where my coach told me I could have bet my house that you were going to lose every match, right? But coming from where I come from, we push past it, right? I don't accept being sucky and not doing anything about it, and so. I worked hard in the off season and really pushed it. I breathed wrestling at that time, right? And would go to camps and seminars and things like that just to get better. And the next year I qualified for CIF tournament. And the year after that, and got an award from my coach, who said, you know, the same guy who said he could have bet his house that I would lose a match, was like, you are the most improved, and I want to, you know, thank you for that, or, you know,
Yes. That's awesome, brother. Yeah. That's so cool, man. And that's what I'm talking about, man. It's like, it's the untold stories, the things that nobody see. And then for you guys watching us live, imagine I've been doing a video for you, for your business, you know, saying, hey, because of you, Mr. Local Business, pizza shop, taco truck, you know, barber shop, whatever business you are in, an author, a speaker, influencer, saying, because of you watching us, contributing, assisting Ivan getting to Romania, you know, he made it. He got to the competition. He got the gold medal. You know, imagine, you know, not only you contributing to helping these athletes, ladies and gentlemen, but you also getting something back. There's athletes, Ivan, you know, and everybody here on the stage and many other athletes, they'll be recording videos saying thank you for contributing to myself and allowing us to get to Romania and competing and winning, even if we lost. But we made it there because of you, Mr. Business Owner. You know, it's $1,000 minimum donations to help those guys out that can go far away, my friends. Not only you help them get in there, but you also getting that piece, that video back that you can repurpose on your social media. You have that video for life that you can use in your reels. You can pin it and you can get even a little sticker, proud sponsor of Team USA. Then you can stamp it at your barbershop, at your pizza joint, at your local Chinese food, you know, at your website. It's about like doing more for others than anybody else. I appreciate you having you here, my friend. And thank you for sharing this story. Let's bring on the stage back the entire gang. And I'm just super excited, guys. I caught you guys on camera. You know, but I'm so happy, guys, you know, to have all of you guys here and sharing your stories and literally playing full out. And I'm going to, you know, have everybody here. And Captain, I wanted to tell me something, Captain Noonan. Let's talk about, you know, team dynamics. You know, can you share a funny or unexpected moment for your training or competition that helped lighten the mood? Let's talk about team dynamics over here as a panel.
Jared, you had to know this was coming. The second you said a funny moment, Jared just started dying because he knew what I was going to say. So Jared is brand new to the team and he got to go to his first red carpet event, which it was so much fun. And he got on the red carpet and was like, wait, I don't know what to do. And he started shadow boxing. And it was awesome because he was like out there like, all right, I'm just going to be in my zone and I'm going to shadow box. And every single photographer, every single paparazzi, like stopped taking pictures of who they were taking pictures of and like all turned. And the whole like everyone had eyes on Jared and he was like, that was pretty cool. And like, you all like felt all proud. But as a team, like we have a lot of fun together. We have group training tomorrow. In fact, we have a group training and we all get together. And to be honest, I don't know how much training gets done when we all get together. We try to focus, but it's more about the camaraderie and then just being together. And again, the team practices, we're supposed to be like training and stuff, but yeah, we do better when we're not training together.
I love it. I tell you a funny red carpet story. So, you know, when I was a kid, I used to learn how to make sounds to cope with suicide and depression and fear. And I would learn how to make sounds and imitate musicians and characters. And I would imagine them being in front of me. Because, you know, I grew up on the streets, you know what I mean? And then I was very poor. I would go on rice for 90 days at a time. And I always remind myself that somebody had work. So I had this saying that's better to laugh instead of crying, especially when we are going through, we are competing and we're not getting the support. We don't have money. We don't know if we're going to make it to the next competition and we're putting our butts off, right? So what I would do whenever I go on a red carpet, I get invited to be on a lot of red carpets because I have a lot of celebrity clients that I mentor. I go and I make a sound like this. I whistle and I poop. I have a red card and a yellow card inside my suit. Everybody, when I do the whistle, he blow the whistle and I do funny shit on the cameras. And the celebrity's like, what the heck is going on over there? He got, you know, so it's funny you bring that up. You just gave me some memories with my whistle stories. But I appreciate you sharing that, Jenny. And then now, guys, on another serious topic, Butch, I mean, you as well, you've been with the team, you know, much longer that I am. And you just invited me to the board yesterday, and I'm very proud to be here with you guys and accepting the honor to assist and bringing more awareness What do you think about, but in your opinion, and with the upcoming competition in Romania, how can our viewers actively support the Team USA, and not just through funding, but in other ways as well?
I'm glad you asked that. So there's a variety of ways to do that, right? So we'll talk about the sponsorship, and then we'll talk about the non-sponsorship, because there's tangibles and intangibles. So from a sponsorship standpoint, Carlos, I've been around sports my entire life. My brother participated in the 1988 Olympics. So it's a very, very close feeling for us, right? I mean, you know, the next thing about not being an Olympian is you can claim to be related to an Olympian. And that's been my journey my whole life. So always been known as Gary's brother. But more importantly, in the Olympics, we're aware of that. 2024 is an Olympic year. It's going to be held in Paris. And in the Olympics, the Olympic athletes, much like these world championship athletes that you have on this panel, they don't get money from the government as well. But because of the notoriety of the Olympics and the fact that it's been around for 100 years, there's endowment funds that are funded by the Fortune 100 companies, right? The Coca-Cola, the McDonald's, the Microsoft, the Kodaks. So you know the brands that have already locked in their association with the Olympics. So the difference here is the small to medium-sized businesses that make this country great, they never get to lay the claim that they are in partnership with Team USA. That party is very small and very exclusive. So there's a big excluded community. What this team of USA, this world championship Pancration MMA team, what we're trying to do is make it an inclusive community. We're trying to say, hey, I understand you don't have $20 million to become a McDonald's key sponsor for the Olympic Council, but how about $2,000 and you can partner with Team USA on a personal level, right? Now, the difference is, Carlos, you and I both know this, being business owners our whole life. Every time there is such a thing as donation fatigue, you know, everybody is hitting us up for something. Everybody wants something from us, whether it's product, whether it's time, whether it's money. And at sometimes it's exhausting and you can't entertain it all. And we also know in traditional days, every time somebody needs something from us, we give it to them and we don't hear from them again. Doesn't matter whether they're trying to sell us SEO services, a Yellow Pages ad, doesn't matter what it is. The moment we say yes, they take our money and they go away. What this team is trying to do is they're saying, hey, we don't just want your money. We want the relationship. We want you to be part of our journey from now through October, which is when we're competing at the World Championships, but continuing that relationship into 2026, when the U.S. hosts the World Championships for the first time in games history. This is the 11th year that they're hosting the World Championships. It's held every 2 years. In countries like Greece and Rome and Sydney and other countries I can't pronounce. But in 2026, it's going to be held in the U.S. And there's two locations that are vying for that right now, one in Southern California and one up in Indiana. So we'll decide where we get the attention, right? But here's the difference. The difference is this. What we're saying to every potential sponsor, for $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000. And we want to build a community with that. And here's the benefit. In most cases, they give us money, we say thank you, and they go away. But over here, we give them the rights to always lay claim that they're an official sponsor of Team USA. We send them the graphics. They can put it on their website, on their letterheads, on their advertising material, wherever it is. And we know for this great country, there's still a tremendous amount of patriots that love that fact. Number two, right? They get an immediate social acknowledgement co-branded with Team USA on our social medias. You got to remember, we got 60 athletes on this team. All 60 individual personalities that have worked their whole life to build a fan base. I will tell you, there's probably in excess of close to 2 million fans and followers individually among the 60 of them that will hear from this brands, because Ivan's got followers, Lauren's got followers, Jared's got followers, Janae's got followers. Only me, I don't have followers, right? Because I don't even like people. No, I'm just kidding. But my point is, there is a social content, social equity that we're giving back to the business. So imagine this, Carlos, you know, company ABC becomes a sponsor, and Ivan, who is a U.S. Army veteran, gets on a microphone or a video screen, and he says, hey, my name's Ivan Amenez, and I'm so excited to be a part of Team USA. I get to compete in Romania. I work full time, and this is something that's been my life passion. And because of the contribution and the sponsorship of ABC Company, I get to go live my dreams and represent this country at the World Championships. You and I both know, Carlos, we both live in the public. We both live in the limelight. We both live in social equity. What is the worth to that company to be able to have that content that they can repurpose, reuse, rebrand, and replay for the rest of the duration, not just for 24? But all the way through 26. This proposition that I just laid out in the last minute and a half doesn't exist in U.S. sports. There is not one sport that you can find across this great nation that's offering that kind of a relationship to a small to medium-sized business. Everybody wants their money, but no one's offering anything back. This team is saying, we don't want your money. We want your relationship. We want your partnership. We want your support. Now, the non-tangible is this. The non-tangible is these athletes work tirelessly when no one is watching. So when you do get to watch them, you share their content. You follow their content. You comment in the content. You let them know, hey, listen, man, I'm broke as a joke, but I love what you're doing. I want to support you. I'm going to say something about how you inspire my kid, my neighbor, my child, my parents, my mom, my dad. I want to let these athletes know that even if I cannot financially support them, I can still spread the message of what they're trying to do to maybe someone who can. So it's not all about money. It's an exchange of value.
I love that big time. But here's what I will do to sweeten the pie. Anybody here listening to us, watching us now, I have a link over here going underneath the screen that you guys can contribute to the team. And anybody for the next 100 listeners and viewers that contribute to Team USA, when you receive the video from them giving you a shout out that you supported them getting to the Olympics, to the next competition in Romania in October, you tag me on Instagram. I have almost 40,000 followers there, and I will share that to my story. I normally charge $500 for a shout out that I donate 100% to help people facing hunger. I will make sure that I will tag that on my Instagram for free, so you'll get an additional 40,000 eyeball views in addition to all the great stuff. Oh, look at that. Janet just said, made me too. So.
Ew.
And it has over 70,000 followers. I believe almost 80,000 followers. I got 40. That's 120,000 eyeballs that Janae and I could easily charge $500 for a shout, because you're going to get 120,000 eyeballs into your brand, into your business, that not only you're going to be able to write off that $1,000, you're supporting those athletes, you're supporting their dreams. You're getting that video back from them, acknowledging you and your name, that you can pin it to your social media all over. You have their permission, which is going to show you a proud sponsor of Team USA. Just like Butch is saying, we are creating an entire blue ocean so that we can help bring more eyeballs to the divisions within Team USA that doesn't get the much love that they deserve. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up seeing way too many people suffering. I seen way too many kids dying on the streets. I told you guys, I will tell you guys a powerful story here today. My father died very young on a horrible car explosion. When he came home from work, he used to work at a bank, going to school, and he had me as a baby. You know what he would do in his free time, ladies and gentlemen? He would go around the trash in the city, the large dump places, not to grab garbage or food, because families couldn't afford their babies, and they would leave them there. And my grandma and my father, they would go there. They would pick up those kids. They were babies, infants, little ones, because they know that sometimes people would stop by.
And my father would take them to churches, to shelters. And it's like the theme that we've been talking about here today. Sometimes it's not about the money. It's about the little acts of kindness that we can do by giving those players a shout out on your social media, by liking their content. Because every like that you guys do, guess what? It opens up the algorithm so more people see it. For every one of them that has a YouTube video and a YouTube channel, you have no idea how that one like and that one comment and that one subscribe opens up and tells YouTube, hey guys, follow this person. Because guess what? Each one of them over here are out there documenting their journey. They are inspiration to another younger person that's seen it. All the young Jareds, the young Jennys, the young Ivans, the young Laurens, and they're watching it because they haven't quit. I often have this conversation with many powerful people that I mentor, and they tell me that they go into suicide or depression, and I tell them, don't do it. Don't do it. Pick up that phone. Give me a call. Reach out to me on social media, at Carlos Inspire. I cannot promise to reply to every one of you, but I do what I can. Because if you quit, if you give up, Mr. Celebrity, Mr. Athlete watching us, guess what? That's what you're setting it up as the bar for the people listening to you. So whenever they are struggling, they're going to think it's okay to do it. We are about raising the bar, guys. We are about raising the standard. We are creating an entire blue ocean here for Team USA and supporting the athletes. Right now, they are struggling. They are competing. And they don't even know if they're going to make it to Romania or to the next competition. That's what this is about. It's about creating a movement around these guys and all the future athletes watching us so that they have hope, so that we can help every single person. And I'm very, very excited to be part of this mission. As you guys know, life is all about the mission, never the commission. And guys, I want to end the show with a powerful question that I want to ask every single one of you individually. And it's the question that I always ask every past guest that's been on my show. I had some great people here. I was going to have Kobe Bryant 2027, but he passed away too young, you know. I had some great people line up. I had some incredible people. I had Frank Shankwitz on my show. He was the founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation. Frank and I was great friends. We travel around the world where I help, you know, create amazing awareness for his book and his movie called Wishman. That man was a detective for 40 years. When he came home from work, he called his friends and he said, hey guys, come to the house. And they all have these phones and they call local family, local businesses. And they say, let's raise some money because there are a few kids that are going to die and they have a clock. And they granted the wish of 500,000 kids before he passed away. I want you guys to watch that movie, Wishman. Incredible story of a great friend. Watch the interview that I did with Frank many, many years ago. I think it was my first year in the show. You guys can go to carlosinspireshow.com and listen to the episode. And I want you guys watching us, when you come home from work, to call your friends, to call your local businesses and say, hey guys, let's come up with $1,000, a few friends, go to your local businesses, and let's go donate minimum of $1,000 to help those athletes so that you get to support them getting to Romania or their next competition. And you get your video with them giving you a shout out because of you, they made it. And us working together as a community and giving hope for the ones that might thinking about giving up. And you guys have no idea how many athletes, just like civilians, going through those moments. So I'm just fired up, guys, as you guys can imagine, as always. But I want to, the question that I'm going to ask to every single one of you, I'm going to start with you, Butch. You know, we're going to start over here by age. And the question is, Butch, is your eulogy, and you are young, and it's 50 years from now, and we are all there listening to AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, Led Zeppelin, and they're going to be reading your eulogy, and they're going to say, Butch Chilaia was ... Who was Butch Chilaia in his own words?
Well, I appreciate that, man. I think I've given this more thought than I should have, but thank you for the kind words, Carlos. You know, one of the legacies that I am most concerned with in my life, obviously, is that, you know, I played it as hard as I could, and my first priority has always been to be a dad, right? That's been the most meaningful, rewarding, humbling experience of my life. It's been the greatest journey I've had for the last 25 years to be able to call my two daughters my two daughters. Now, the other difference is this. I've been a recipient of kindness my entire life. I grew up on the other side of the tracks. I knew what it was like to have very little, to not have. And I realized that material things don't last, but kindness does. I've been so fortunate my entire life to experience an abundance of kindness. I've had countless people take time, take energy, take effort, take money to express kindness towards me. It is my life's mission to be able to spread that going forward. Like I said at the start of the show, I will always be in deficit because I could never surpass the amount of kindness I've received, even if I gave away 100% from today to the rest of my life. So my eulogy, I hope to be remembered as somebody who cared, somebody who was kind, and somebody who loved unconditionally.
Wow. Man, what a powerful, powerful eulogy, my brother. You are, my friend. You are an inspiring spirit of that. Thank you for your kind words.
You're very sweet. Thank you.
Lauren Manzano, my friend, it's your eulogy. And it's 70 years from now, since you are on your 20s. And they're going to say, Lauren Manzano was an incredible athlete, done so much for Team USA, inspire millions of kids around the world. Incredible human being. But in Lauren Manzano's own words, your best friend's going to be reading your eulogy 70 years from now, and he's going to say, or she, or they, or whatever, and they're going to say, Lauren Manzano was dot, dot, dot. Who was Lauren Manzano in her own words?
I think the word you used is actually one I like to live my life by, which is to inspire. Since I was a very young child, so about 13, I've been teaching martial arts. And I've been a teacher my whole life. I teach at a university, and I get the privilege of being able to work with young people and help provide a role model that is maybe not what's available on TV and social media, especially for young women, which is to be very strong within themselves, very educated, very goal-driven, and independent. And so I think what I would like to be remembered by is that I was a woman who refused to allow society to tell me what I can and cannot do. And that by doing so, that I led as being an individual and inspired others to, you know, maybe they don't need to be an athlete and be a martial artist because that's not for everyone. But if it inspired them to be brave and have the courage to say, you know what, I want to try something. Even if someone tells me I can't do it or society says I can't do it, I'm going to try it anyways. And if I can leave that as my legacy of I want to try and I want to follow in Lauren's footsteps in my manner, that would be a life well lived. And on top of that is that I inspire and lead with kindness as well, because I think kindness doesn't come from any sort of personal gain that you get from it. Yeah, it feels good, you know, to do certain things. But if you can live your life through kindness and respect, then you can be proud of who you are as an individual and how you inspire others. So I think that's what I would like to leave as my legacy of kindness and inspiration.
Yes, yes, yes. I love it. What a beautiful message. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for all you're doing, inspiring all these little girls out there. And I know that's a bunch of little girls inside some women's with miles in them right now that have that dream, that may give it up. And because of you and your story and your resilience, you know, keep empowering, keep inspiring, because and let's awaken, as I like to call, let's remove the demons of all of them and looking the demons in the eyes and reminding ourselves that we are enough. It's not over until we say so. You know what I mean? So I love it. Thank you so much for all you do. Go Team USA. I can't wait to see you do. You do incredible things in Romania in October. And rock and roll, my friend. Thank you. Senor Ivan Jimenez, your turn. It's your eulogy. It's 70 years from now. And they're going to say, my brother, Ivan Jimenez was an incredible athlete,
human being that mentor many. Because if he show up to blow up, many are following their dreams. And your best friend is going to be reading your eulogy. And he's going to say, Ivan Jimenez was, in your own word, who was Ivan Jimenez?
I would say fearless. And I mean that in pursuing dreams specifically, anything in life. I had a dream of becoming a father, just similar to Butch, right? Like, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a father. I did that. And I like to say that I excel at that. Fearless in pursuing any career goal, any life dream to push through and not be afraid to fail, no matter what. I think that's something that I've always tried to do, regardless of how pretty it looks, right? It's not always, doesn't always look good on paper. It's not always like a movie. But even pushing past the adversity and just being fearless, going after it and inspiring others to do the same, to show people that it can be done no matter where you come from, no matter what you've been through, let's push through and be fearless and go after what we want.
Yeah, yes, yes. Appreciate you, Ivan, my friend. Wishing you nothing but luck and love, my friend. And I know you're going to rock it in October in Romania. So rock and roll, my friend. I'm looking forward, man, seeing you out there and doing big things. Let's go. Let's go, Team USA. Appreciate you being on the show. And I want to bring here my brother, Jared Barnes, AB, in the house. It's about to go down. And my friend, Jared, it's your eulogy. It's 80 years from now. And they're going to say, JB, a.k.a. Jared Barnes, survive and beat in the odds. Look the devils in the eye and say, I am coming from you. Ain't no storm that's going to stop me. And your best friend's going to read your eulogy. And he's going to say, Jared Barnes was, ... Who was Jared Barnes?
Jared Barnes is probably the dopest person on the planet to ever walk around. Nah.
I love it.
Yeah. I'd probably say, you know, Jared was not a perfect person. He definitely had a lot of shortcomings, made a lot of mistakes, but he always did his best. He always found it in his heart to give back to others, no matter what he was going through.
You're good, my friend.
Can you still see me?
Yes.
Okay. No matter what he was going through or what he had to deal with, he also did not give up, in hopes to inspire everybody in his community to do the same thing. And his hair was really dope too. His hair was awesome. He has such a great sense of style and everything too.
I love it. We see it's live. We lost them, but the devil cannot stop. Oh man, what a beautiful message. I'm glad that we're getting this on camera. I'm way over time, but it's all good. And Captain. We're saving the captain for last. Captain Jenna Noonan in the house. It's about to go down. My friend, Captain.
Yes.
Since on your, you are in your 20s. It's 70 years from now. And you're almost 100. And it's your eulogy. And there's going to be a lot of incredible people there. And they're going to say, Jenna Noonan was an incredible woman, fearless lioness that inspired many women in her career to not quit, to keep it going, to go for no matter what. But in Jenna Noonan's own words, who was Jenna Noonan?
Well, I actually want to start by saying, if I had to read all of the people's eulogies, I would honestly say that that's what I would say for those people. Butch is an awesome father. Lauren is kind and inspiring. Jared, you have an awesome sense of style and awesome hair. And Ivan, you are a great dad and you do inspire and you are definitely fearless. And I love that. So all of you guys can proudly say that somebody would say that at your funerals. I think my best friend would get up there and say, why are we at a funeral? Let's go party. She wouldn't want us crying right now. And on another funny note, I actually want everybody to write on some sort of social media that I died in the most mysterious way, like stung by a million bees, or like got like just Google. Just so when Google writes how Jenna Noonan died, I want to mess up Google. I want Google to have no clue because everybody wrote something different. But in all honesty, what I would want to have said is go party. But also that I led by example, and I helped everybody. Like, I've paved a way, so I turned around and I'm helping everybody up, and I was selflessly helping everybody out. And I lived selflessly, and I lived in kindness. I'm with Lauren and Butch on that. I want people to feel that I'm kind and that I inspired others to live their best. I have a motto that you just gotta suck at something new, try new things. I even said that too in a video. Don't be scared to suck at things and try new things. And I've always lived my own life by the beat of my own drum, annoyingly to some people, but it's my life and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I really hope that when my time comes, that's what's said. And I really hope that I adopted. And so when you're talking about, you know, the children on the street, that connects to my heart. And so I really hope that my son gets up there and says, I lived the best life. And I'm really glad that she adopted me and that I got to live as her son. And that's, I guess,
I love it. My sister, I'm the same way. Ain't nobody gonna be sad. You guys better be listening to AC/DC, I Don't Think, right? Metallica, smoking Cuban cigars, playing.
It better be a party.
For real, like, I want you guys to go right after, go do the stuff that I do in the jungles. I like jumping waterfalls and going hunting and go have a great time. I love it. We are brothers and sisters from another life, my friend. Appreciate that. And look who we got back on the stage. We got back here, Jarrell Barnes. I appreciate you, Jarrell, for the beautiful message. Hey, Jarrell, I got to have to ask you again. That was such a great, and it was a small glitch. So,
yeah.
But I'm going to ask you one more time. I love the hair. And in Jarrell Barnes' own words, at your eulogy, 70 years from now, what is your best friend going to say? Who was Jarrell Barnes?
Aside from all the roasting and embarrassing stories they're probably going to tell about me, I hope that he tells everybody, shares that, how selfless I was, how much humor I brought to the room, because I'm always trying to make everybody laugh, and my persistence and willing to not give up no matter what. I hope I can pass that on to everybody I love, for sure.
Man, I appreciate you, my friend, big time. And thank you for all you're doing. Good luck at the tournament in October, my brother. We're going to do big things. And go thank Team USA, man. I appreciate you. And guys, I'm just, look at that. Flags. And it's about to go down. I want to go spar with you guys. I'm about 50 pounds overweight, so I need to drop some weight and get freshen up on the skill set. But team, I'm just so grateful to all of you guys. I'm looking forward to doing big things. I'm just so honored here to have the world and God brought all of us together on this stage. And this is just the beginning. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys out on social media. We have some fun. We'll go party on IG. Janae, whenever you and I are partying somewhere, we'll go live on IG just to create awareness. Same thing with you, Jarrell. I'm going to, you know, I always like to mess up. Whenever you have a little help, tag me on IG. I'll mess with Meyer, and then we'll have a little live interview there. And Ivan, same thing to you, my brother. You know what I mean? Just keeping on rocking. I'm a proud father myself. My daughter, she's like a little MMA beast. She's 12 years old. She loves to speak about mental toughness and anti-bullying and, you know, and giving back and helping others. And Lauren, you're keeping on rocking, inspiring those women. And my friend Butch, just keep being you, brother. Just keep being you, helping and inspiring so many others around the world. And I'm excited, guys. I'm excited what is ahead of us. I pray that everybody listening to this on the replay, live, in the comments, you know, like I say, it doesn't have to be, if not this money that can support those athletes. It's that like, it's that comment, is that subscribed into our channels, into each one of us' social media accounts, and just engaging. So more and more people see it, so they watch it. Because every one of us over here, we document the struggles. And it's not all pretty and then. It's not all about, you know, the gold medals. Yes, fine, but that lasts a few seconds. Nobody talks about the 10, 20 years that they practice for that 2 seconds on the stage. And that's what this is about. It's about honoring the struggle, honoring the suck, going for the no, going for the days that breaks us. Because those are truly the days that work. Thank you guys again. I appreciate you all. Man, you guys have a blessed day. And God bless all of you guys, man. Love you guys. Let's freaking rock it. Go Team USA. It's
thank you so much. Thank you.
Boom.